maybe is popularity. I am what others think of me. The whole peer pressure thing. You walk into a room, have you experienced that? You walk into a party, and then all of a sudden, especially if there's people, many people that you don't know, you walk in there and you feel this pressure of, I now have to portray maybe something that makes me sound smarter, or I have to portray something that maybe makes me look cooler, or looks more beautiful than I am, or whatever. It's not just the ladies, it's the guys as well. The way that we have to perform in a group setting. It has an influence on us. And then you realize after a while that it's impossible. There's always somebody, and maybe I'm speaking to the young people here, don't fall for that trap. Because as you get older, you realize there's always somebody that's going to be cooler than me. There's always somebody with a better car. There's always somebody with a better outfit. There's always somebody who's more educated than me. There's always somebody, you know. So you try to keep up with that social status. And at the end of the day, it just kills you. So what happens on Facebook and social media, it comes into real life. So on social media, who of you don't like a thumbs up? Those of you still there. I don't like to operate in that sphere anymore. Because I'm very intimidated by thumbs down. But what happens there is people harvest for the thumbs up. And they'll do silly stuff to get that thumbs up. Doesn't matter who the crowd is. You will play according to that crowd so that you can get your thumbs up. And what people are actually doing is they're crying out for love. They're crying out for, listen, somebody notice me. Somebody see me. So we've taken it into virtual reality, but then it manifests in real life as well. In real life, we're looking for thumbs up as well. And you find your identity in that. And you're not supposed to find your identity in that. Okay, so that's just a few places where you can get your identity. And the danger of all of that is that you can lose it. You find your self-worth, you find your sense of security, you find your happiness in those areas, but the danger is you can lose it. You can lose all of that. What happens if you lose your work? What happens if you lose that financial status that you have? What happens if you lose your title? If you demote it? If you get fired? If you mess up as, I don't know, a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, and you lose that? Where's your identity then? What happens if you, if people don't speak nice of you? What happens if you don't get the thumbs ups, but you get just a season of thumbs down? And you know how we as a people, societies are, we play this moral card many times. We're very quick to point and to judge at other people. Well, there's a lot of fingers pointing back at us. So we can lose all of this, and then where do you get your identity then from? It's missing then. It's gone. So, I see you maybe see where I'm going with this. The key for our following Jesus is that we get our identity and our calling from heaven, not from earth. So we might say, okay, but that was for Jesus. That was a supernatural moment where people, the witnesses, heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. So that was for Jesus. But what about me? Do I have to wait for such an encounter? Some of us have been baptized already. We went into the water, slam dunk, poop. We came out a new person, and we were like, oh. All we heard was chirp, 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 or somebody clapping hands or whatever. Maybe in your heart you heard that, if you've read that portion of scripture. Maybe in your heart you've heard that, and that's beautiful. But we forget it very quickly. So what does God say about us? Listen to this, Ephesians 1 verse 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. Blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That is a mouthful, and you have to go home and go and read chapter 1, 2, 3, very, very slowly. Because Paul repeats over and over and over, in Christ this blessing, in Christ that blessing, in Christ this is who you are, in Christ you are wise, in Christ you have this inheritance. So on the one hand, you have this flesh that gravitates toward the list that I mentioned to try and tell you who you are and who you are not. And on the other hand, you have the Spirit of God, you have the source of heaven, you have the truth of the Word of God speaking into you, telling you who you are. But when we neglect the source, when we neglect to sit and to say, Lord, would you speak to me? Or when we neglect to read the Word, as I think many times in the charismatic church, we're lazy. We're just waiting for an encounter. An encounter will fix me. And there's nothing wrong with that. The power encounters of God are fantastic. It's amazing how God can touch and heal and deliver and work with us. But the Christian walk is a walk of discipline as well. We are called disciples of Jesus Christ. We have to be disciplined. Sometimes there's a work in that. Sometimes you have to be the one that say, you know, I know there's grace of God in my life, but I'm going to go to bed at 8 o'clock so that I can wake up at 5 o'clock because I have to be at work at 7 o'clock so that I can spend time with the Word of God. So that the Word of God can speak into my life, who am I really? And if you think about, if we can put up a pie diagram or we can draw a ratio of how many voices in a day or in a week speaks into your life just through what you see and through what you hear and through what goes on in your mind and what you feel, how many of those voices speak to you, and then how much truth speaks into your life? How much scrolling time do you spend and allow that voice to speak to you of what you have or you don't have, or you compare this or you compare that? And how much peace and how much joy and how much righteousness in the Holy Spirit that does that bring to your life? And every now and again, we need to unplug from that so that we can encounter God while we're reading our Bible, not just cognitively, but relationally, feel the peace of God speaking into our life and say, you know, Rick, you are really a confused Okie, I see that. But I want to tell you, in that confusion that I see as well, you are my son in whom I am well pleased. And when you are stuck in performance, like I am often there, I want to work. then I only think I hear that voice saying, you are my son in whom I am well pleased, if I have done something for the kingdom or for the church. You with me? But whether I do something or don't do something, whether I have something or don't have something, whether I'm popular or not popular, that truth ministers to you and to me 24/7, 365, 12 months a year. You are my son, you are my daughter, in whom I am well pleased, if you are in Christ. If you are not in Christ, if the enemy gets it right to make you forget that you are in Christ, you will start to listen to the other words. You will start to listen to the other voices. You will start to listen to what you deem is your reality and is your truth. And then, slowly but surely, or very suddenly, you lose your peace. Gone is your peace. Weg is your vrede. Until there's a moment of, again, of sanity, of repentance, of encounter, of time in the Word of God, where you know, I am in Christ Jesus. Comer explains it this way. He says, listen, this word, in Christ, is translated from the word in the Messiah. So we know the word Messiah is a Jewish word, which means Savior. But you have to understand the context of that. Messiah was the king that the nation were waiting for. And then Jesus came and said, I am that Messiah. The Jewish people, Jewish nation, they're still waiting for their Messiah. They're missing it there. But what it means is the following. N.T. Wright wrote, when Paul speaks to us about being in Christ, the center of what he means is that the king represents his people so that what is true for the king was true for the people. So what happens to him happens to them, and what is true for him is true for them. So to be in Christ means to be incorporated with Christ. It means to put on Christ. It means to be in union with Christ. It means to be that you are so part of Jesus and Jesus is so part of you that what he is doing, has done, has happened to you, you are free. He paid for you on the cross. You are free because he paid for you on the cross. You were resurrected with Jesus Christ. You sit with him in heavenly places. That's what the Word of God says. So we think of Christ being there and I am here. And maybe now and again our paths cross. But the truth is, we are in him. We are intimately part of him. He is part of us. Christ works in us. Praise God for that. He's in us. Christ in us. Another explanation for this is to think of the life of King David. So here's King David. He wasn't king yet. He was Shepherd David, but he's anointed. He's going to be the king, okay? So maybe the rumors was there. Social media wasn't there, so the news didn't travel that fast, maybe. He's anointed as a shepherd boy, anointed as king. Then he goes to the battlefield, and then he has this massive giant that mocks the nation. And then David goes. David fights against him. He wins the war. He wins the battle, and because he wins the battle, he wins the war. So what happened to the king happened to the nation. Okay? So what we don't know is, we don't know that where that battlefield was, the first town was the town of David. If David would have lost that battle against Goliath, okay, then you would have a Hamas situation. You would have his mother, his father, his brothers and sisters. I don't know if he had sisters. I think he had. Yes, he did. But you had his community being raped, being murdered, being mutilated. Okay? So David's victory was the nation's victory. David's freedom was the nation's freedom. David's breakthrough was the nation's breakthrough. So we have to understand, it wasn't just, oh, he won against Goliath. No. He won for the nation. So the Messiah, what happens to the Messiah is for the nation. And Jesus Christ, the King of the world, he died for all of humanity. So when we are in Christ, we have the victory of Christ. When we are in Christ, we have the freedom of Christ. When we sing the songs like this, it's not like, oh, we hope Jesus will come down now. And we hope Jesus, if he maybe has time, will today step into my situation. No. He's in your situation. He's intimately part of this. But many times we keep him, we think we can keep him at a distance. And you hear me? It's a faith thing. It's an in Christ thing. So when I am in Christ and Christ is in me, that determines my identity. And that is a powerful, powerful, powerful revelation. If we have that. If somebody tells you, you're stupid. Or somebody maybe think, and you realize, I think you're stupid. You have the wisdom of God in your life. You are wise. Now here's the challenge that we have. We live in the world of the now, but the not yet. We might be standing here, I might be standing here, and I do that often. I'd say, yes, God sees me, and when he sees me, he sees Jesus. But he also sees my silliness, he sees my goofiness, he sees my insecurity. Because he's God. He knows about that. But he doesn't focus on my insecurities or my wrong identity. He's like, I see Christ because you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And I want you to start confessing and start speaking what Christ is saying about you and what I am saying about Jesus. Because in that is your breakthrough. In that is your power. In that is everything that we need to live a life that is glorifying to God. So my identity is not rooted in who I was. My identity mainly isn't rooted in who I am at the moment, because as we're sitting here, I'm not the only insecure one. I know that. My identity is rooted in the future, in who Christ say I am. So yes, I have stuff to work through. Yes, I have sin that I have to get rid of. Yes, there's breakthroughs that still need to happen in my life. Yes, there's certain faith in me that must rise up. But if I focus on the past or I focus in the now, I miss the identity that Christ has for me. And the big challenge of this is that, not challenge, the great thing is, if my identity is determined by the things of the world, then my calling will manifest as the things of the world as well. My identity has a direct influence on my calling. But if my identity is from heaven, then my calling are influenced by what heaven say about me, what Christ says about me. And the rest of Ephesians is about that. Just a short part. Ephesians 4 verse 1 to 3 says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Paul is urging us as well. He urged the Ephesians. He's urging us as well. He says, to walk worthy of the calling that is placed on your life. So there's no wonder that the Church of Jesus Christ is not manifesting in miracles, not manifesting in healing, not manifesting in the supernatural, if our identity is in the world. If we pursue the things of the world more than we pursue the things of God. And even if we are in the world, that is the place where we have to manifest confidence and light and faith and love in the way that God has spoken it over us already. but it's ours to plug into. It is our responsibility daily to plug out of the things of the world and to plug into the things of God. So what you do flows directly from who you are. I'm almost done. So if this is who we are, let us walk a life worthy of who we are. If you got married, Dennis, you married. Are you an amazing husband from the word go? Terrible husband. And that is the truth for all of us. But you're getting better. Yes. So all of us as husbands can say the day we got married, we didn't have all this husband-wife thing, family thing. And your wife will tell you that every now and again. And the same for you, ladies. The same when we became fathers. It's not like they give you the baby and say you can take it home, and with that they give you this run sheet of... I don't know how the dads did it before Google or YouTube. It wasn't there. You had to go and ask your father or whatever, or your mother. And they probably weren't even that great at it as well. But we grow into that as well. So we have to understand this idea that we are in Christ, okay? We are in the now in Christ, but then there is that not yet. We have to grow into certain areas. And by the grace of God, we do grow into that. But the practical point that I want to bring over today is what we say matters. What we speak over one another matters. What you as a parent speak over your children, it matters, okay? I don't think there is parents that would say stuff like you will never amount to anything or you won't make it. Maybe they are. They're obviously not saved yet. But even in the little micro details of the things that we say to our children, we have to watch where's our hearts, where's our irritation. Because we have a responsibility to prophesy over them, to speak life over them, to often tell them, you are my son or my daughter in whom I am well pleased. Because if you're sitting here today, you are the product of somebody who either said that over you, a mom, physical mom or dad who said, I am well pleased of you, or a physical mom or dad who said something nasty about you, it had an influence on your identity, it had an influence on where you are today, or maybe your parents were just neutral. They weren't really the ones that spoke and that talked and that affirmed who you are and what you do and where you're going with your life. And that plays a role on who we are. And that plays a role on what we do. You with me? So that's my encouragement to you today. If you drove here, okay, fighting with your wife, I don't know about what, or vice versa, this is your homework. On your way back, say, I'm sorry. If this is a word of knowledge, I'm like, wow. If not, it's just an example. You just say, I'm sorry. Okay? And I want to say, you are beautiful, not because of what you wear, not because of your makeup, not because of anything you've done, but because you are in Christ. You are amazing. And you are going to grow into more amazing stuff. And it's not to be fluffy, it's not to be sentimental, it's not to be... It's to speak the truth of who we are in Christ. We have a responsibility towards one another as well. If you see a brother or a sister down and out in the dumps, and maybe I can connect that to what Arno shared about the orchidea, about the flower key. That is the words that feed us as well. It's not sentimental, emotional claptrap. It's speaking truth over somebody. Maybe you have a friend at school. If you see them down, it's exam time, you see, listen, this paper didn't go well. Don't go and sit and muddle in their whatever pity party. Tell them, listen, you know there's a next time. You know there's a future. You know you will do great in that. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know that you are wise? Do you know that you have knowledge? Do you know that you have access to the miracles that is in heaven? Don't stop there. Tell them to go and study now, because otherwise they'll go like, oh, I'm going to wait for that miracle in my math exam. Help one another to form character. Help one another to get the boulders out of the way, to move the boulders in our lives, so that we grow into maturity in Christ. God speaks to us and He says, I love you guys. I love you guys. I'm well pleased with you. My performance brain doesn't get that. I always feel, do something, then somebody will say, here's your sweetie. Here's your pocket money. And truth is, my mom and dad, they weren't like that. They weren't like that. They weren't the ones that said, you know, you have to do this and then we will love you. They loved me unconditionally. But somewhere, blame it on Adam and Eve, the curse of the world got to me, and you believe that. I am only worthy when I have done this. I am only worthy when I have that. And depending on where you find yourself, that competition or comparison will have a massive influence. I think that's why so many people in the third world country, they just seem much happier than... We're third world, aren't we? But that's the problem. We third world, but we are first world wannabes. And then you get to the first worlds and you realize, listen, they have their issues and their problems as well. This isn't Eden. This isn't paradise. Let's find our identity in Christ. Somebody said, our children will live up or down to what we speak over them. And we are the same. We are children as well. Let's just remember that. We live up or down to what is spoken over us. And what is spoken over us isn't just words. It's thoughts, it's images, it's what you hear, what you feel. The truth, the word, the Spirit of God that anchors us, that makes us gravitate towards truth. So let's speak true identity over one another. And let's call out from one another what we see somebody can become as well. Okay? So if God lays somebody on your heart, take some time out and say, Lord, I'm thinking of Christian. I'm thinking of him. What do you want me to think about him? What do you want to show me about this young man? And then I have to go and speak it over his life. Relax, ek gaan nie nou iets doen nie, jy's weer net, you're just an example. Everyone's like, here it comes. His t-shirt says, ja, nee, no, yes, no. No, I'm not going to say anything. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you today, Lord, for what you have spoken over us, Lord. We want to thank you, Father God, for the Bible. We want to thank you, Father God, for truth. And I want to pray, Lord, that, Father God, I want to pray for each one of us, Lord, in those areas, Lord, where we need specific words and we need encouragement and we need to be pulled from the miry clay and we need to be placed on the rock. I pray, Father God, Lord, that as a church, as a community, Lord, as families, we will speak life over one another. We will speak the truth into one another's identity. And Father God, where people are stubborn to receive, I pray, God, Lord, that we will pray. We will pray and we will pray and we will pray, Lord. We will pray for hard rocks and we will pray people's identity and calling over them, Lord. Father, we want to thank you that we can be in you. We want to thank you that we are clothed with you. And God, we want to thank you, Lord, for everything that flows from that union. We thank you for the miracles that you do in our lives, Lord. Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict us of every place, Lord, where we have called evil good and good evil. Those micro things, Lord, where we have just said, that's who I am. That failure has repeated so many times, that's just who I am. I want to pray today, Father God, that you will come and uproot every lie of the wicked one. Every lie of the world. And I pray, Father God, that you will bring each one of us, Lord, in alignment, Lord, with your goodness, with your truth. I pray, Father God, for a discernment so that we can discern between lie and truth, between good and evil. And Lord, I want to pray specifically, Lord, for that stuff, Lord, in our lives that is, it's become woven into our lives like a tapestry, Lord. It's like, that's so part of who I am. How can you say that is not my reality? I pray, Father God, Lord, that you will unravel the lies and the evil that has become part of our makeup, that has become part, Father God, of our being. It's only your Holy Spirit that can move and can unravel that, Lord. And God, I want to thank you, Lord. You are the heavenly weaver. You are the one, Lord, that can make a new tapestry, Lord. Beautiful. Blameless. Spotless. Breathing. Alive. Life-giving. And I pray that over us as a church. I pray that over our town. I pray that over our province. I pray that over our country. I pray it over this continent. I pray it, Father God, over this world. Come and make new tapestries that is creative and beautiful and functioning. Functioning, Lord.